What's that movie, There Will Be Blood? There will be booing.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, crossover time. Let's welcome in Mark Willard, Dan Dibley.
Tears for Fears.
And Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch expected to talk to the media at 2 o'clock. We'll either have it live if we can or shortly thereafter. What's up, guys?
That sounds
what's
accurate.
Going on?
Yeah,
what's
up, baby? There's a lot going on. There's about
tons.
There's about to be an unveiling.
Oh!
Yeah. I mean.
But it's all going to happen. And, you know, the one thing
what's the unveiling?
Just sit back. Why don't you take a playoff?
Well, he doesn't have too long because he's leaving early.
Early, no, but
settle. Oh, you're not now.
We'll see.
He's contractually obligated to be here till 2. So if you want to leave early, earlier than that, we'll go ahead and chalk you up as another day off if you want. I don't want to get into that, but I'll go ahead and start the revealing right now because, Gu, I admire you for so many reasons, but one thing is because you put yourself out there in so many ways, and we'll put aside the 100-yard dash where you're going to receive a thorough beatdown. But
did you see? I'm going to be quiet.
I admire it, and I saw it in his get-off, and he ran like 30 yards, and by the time he got to 30 yards, the boy, Lorenzo Neal, was a freight train a-rolling. And I played one-on-one against him, and I underestimated him. It was an underestimation sensation, Mark, is what it was.
That was closer than a lot of people had.
It was not. Steiny was right. I was 5 for 37 from the floor. I had 32 clean looks that I missed. I had a chance to beat him, but I didn't because, wait for it, he is an NFL athlete. So, yeah, you can race him in a 100-yard dash, and you can look good for 50 or 60, but he will beat you. You will go down.
I got you, Dibs,
and you will
I
go
appreciate
down hard.
That. Yeah. No, I got you.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What's the unveiling?
All right.
Oh.
Now we got that. Hey, you guys. This is my outdoor. Grandy.
It's going to take a minute.
With no t-shirt.
Willard's in a smoothie.
One. There's a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
You guys are the best.
No, but there's a reason. Unveiling.
Just think, Dibs.
I haven't worn a tank top since 1986.
You look good,
I look
Dibs.
Awful.
First of all, a white guy in a tank is something I've promised the world I wouldn't do. But
wait a minute.
No, double reasons.
Hold on a minute.
I'm not going
we that way. Willard AD. Willard got the AD compressed.
We had a deal, Patrick Ewing.
No, we did not
with
have
the
a deal.
T-shirt.
I've never
Hold on a minute.
I've never rooted for Dwight Howard before.
You my dude.
And I'm not going to start now. I purposefully asked the Valks to get something that's too small because I'm giving this to my daughter because she is going to be thrilled with this jersey. So this jersey is not my size. And I think so much of you, Goo, but I also think so much of our audience.
You're kind of ruining the bit.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it to the
audience.
Yeah,
but now you're making me feel bad that I didn't give it to my daughter or even think it
was. That was an unintended consequence.
My daughter's 3,
she couldn't
fit
in.
There's baby size coming in. The whole bit was that you also were going to bail your arms.
I told you that that's not happening.
Oh, Will.
I told you.
So you thought he was stripping and going to see the arm.
No, he
didn't.
I did, and he's like, it's a medium. And I said, you know what? Just rock it for the crossover, and then you could put your hoodie on over it.
There it is.
Much more impactful, especially with Steiny and his nice new pink little sweater.
Listen, he looks great. It's new. Yeah,
this only matters.
All right.
The YouTube audience. Yeah. The rest of people can't even see us anyway. So YouTube audience.
Right.
The first, the next 5 comments about this.
Take
I
it
see.
Off.
If you want me to take my undershirt off and come back in here with a smedium with no undershirt, I'll do it.
Oh.
I'll do it if you want
me
to do
Will,
it.
That Willie gamer.
Out of the respect for the audience, I wasn't doing it. But if y'all want me to do it, I'll do it. You know, I painted my face. I'll do it.
Yeah.
But
and I'll say this to that, Willard.
I would.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Steiny says. No,
seriously, guys.
Of course not.
Use go Pat. Yeah. I like your Patrick Ewing
thank
look.
You.
I like AD.
You both should go Ewing. T-shirt
when was the
underneath.
One time you went outside your comfort zone
that
on the air?
Man.
Never.
Right.
No, there had to.
I'll tell you the last time I went out of my comfort zone.
Into the mic.
When I went into the, I played with that game against the Globetrotters about 15 years ago, and I was working at Comcast. Stupidest decision ever made.
Did you get the bucket of water in your face?
Yeah. No, confetti. And then the dude tried to pants me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd that.
Like, you ain't Curly Neal wannabe.
And you had the long shorts because you were the first one to ever wear long shorts.
I had them tightened around my waist.
We're skins.
So,
and we're skins. I got it. Skins. I got it.
All right.
No, I'll
guys,
say this.
No, you guys talk. No. I'm going off camera.
I did say this. I'm not tooting my own horn, but beep Steiny, the far off view of my arms are what I thought they were.
We're going to get bare chest. Inside.
Look at Will.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Oh,
here
yeah.
we go. He's, Willie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This
is,
oh, yeah.
Watch out now.
No, you're off camera.
Yeah. Willie's going to look. Willie's yeah, watch good out shape.
Now. Dude, he's in look phenomenal
how
shape.
How old are you now, Willie?
He's 50.
Wow.
He's
but Will.
Unlike
Will.
Guru, who apparently is 38.
Will. No, my athletic age is how you feel.
You?
Why do I care?
Do you work out?
He works out, bro. Have you seen his wife? He has to work out.
Yeah. Willie, that was impressive.
Well, I thought she, he just has great metabolism.
No, she works. She works me out.
Yeah.
She does the. She
yeah.
does the. She does. Well,
sorry.
Hey, hobba.
Every now and again, you have to drop a.
Weekday mornings are good, but anyway, no. She does. She has her own EMS studio. It's
incredible
muscular stimulation. You do it once a week, and it'll change.
What happens?
Willie went.
Your body changes.
That man changed on live YouTube. I love it.
No, but I actually have a free one coming, and I want to get in there because it's basically like you get.
It's incredible.
You know what stim is, right? Like when you get the pads on and you get the stim.
There's some overlap to
it's
that.
It's a mix of stim and movement, and apparently as you move and you get the stim, your muscles get freed up and they get more limber and more relaxed and you get stronger.
But you're moving with it now too. Like she's coaching you through movements with it.
And when she
moves,
it
take like
you
an hour?
Move.
No, 20 minutes. The whole thing's on a loop the whole time. So you're 4 seconds on, 4 seconds off. 4 seconds on and she's coaching you through movements.
Wow.
20 minutes.
Go Christy.
Once a week.
And then
that's it. Once a week. I'm telling
and
you.
And what happens?
Your body changes.
Can she do something with these noodles that I'm rolling with right now?
Good.
The answer's yes.
Are you serious?
I don't know what she can do with them, but something.
I want what he
feels. You feel better physically? It's like,
Well, I mean, you're just, you're going to be in a, like, you'll be in different shape.
Is it?
And then there's a cardio version if
you
want.
How about you go try it and support the
Willers? Why don't you come see us and try it?
You know what?
Come try it. You got any back pain?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Sid is appointed at 211.
That new hip has done wonders for him.
Dude,
apparently,
it has.
He's driving it 20 yards further with the new hip.
What should I do? Because I've listeners, what should I do? This thing's intriguing me. EMS. I've made some inquiries into Tai Chi.
Look at you.
Oh, you
Tai Chi.
Is that those Instagram ads? Anybody who's over 50 gets those. You're saying I knew it.
I don't get those.
That's because you won't admit that you're over 50. Once you're over 50, those Instagram ads are killing you with it. If you're a man over 50, you should sit in a chair and do Tai Chi once a month.
Oh, yeah.
And you will have ripped abs.
That is incredible.
Every single. Absolutely.
I
get those ads too.
Yeah. I guess the boss wants to jump in here. It's the first time we've had four guys in the same room at the same time, full time.
Steiny, I got a deal for you.
Okay.
Take it off.
If you go
no
shirt under a jersey before the crossover ends, you can take Monday off.
Wow.
Whoa. Dude, a whole day.
Oh, he thought about
it's
it.
Labor
I saw
day.
It behind his eyes.
Oh.
Nice try, Labor Day.
I was the first one to get it.
By the way, I'm taking Labor Day off, man. I know we got to do that even with the holidays. So while you're here, Labor Day, no. Thanksgiving, no way.
Oh.
Christmas, no.
What about Indigenous People's Day?
Boy, you really got power around here. You're going to take Thanksgiving and Christmas off, huh?
Give me that Friday after Thanksgiving.
Bold move, Cotton.
That's juice. Let's see if it works out for him.
I'm really liking myself from the far-off view. I said earlier, it didn't look like it looked
great.
There. No, but from the far-off,
So you're talking about
how
good you look.
They had it all up on me. I look like Al Pacino early.
I'm liking it early.
You're a brother in a room with two white dudes with tanks. You're going to look phenomenal. Phenomenal.
I mean, come on.
Phenomenal.
Oh,
I mean, are you kidding me? This is your moment.
I want to feel better.
This is your moment.
No chance.
Now, we're going to get to the Niners. Seriously. Forget Dibs. Forget Steiny. Willard, I'm looking at you.
Oh.
I'm 6'4". You heard I hit the home run.
I'm
you were there when I hit the home run. I throw a ball and ball.
What's happening?
All I need to do, there's no defense on running. I still run. I play full court.
Do you just have it out of your mind that I couldn't beat Lo Neal today in a 100-yard dash?
I don't have it out of my mind because I don't know what Lo's doing. I don't know what
Lo's
doing.
Well, we got a video
he beat a guy in a 50-yard dash.
But who's Lively from KPIX.
Matt Lively from KPIX, who's like 28 and in pretty good shape.
Okay, but we got the video, and I saw it and studied it, but I still like my chances. I got long strides.
I would need to see Lo, because my rule in the NFL is the offensive lineman after retirement gets smaller and the running backs get bigger. Like they all meet at 240 pounds. All
right.
So I don't know. I know. I saw him on TV.
Yeah,
he looks good.
Yeah. He's gotten smaller.
But I also men of a certain age, including ours and his, like letting it loose and running full speed. If you're not like really, really ready for
I do it twice a week.
Those hammies and them calves are. Ask Kyle Shanahan. They're tricky.
Yeah. So, I've actually reached out to a couple of local 100-meter legitimate Olympians to weigh in.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to secure a guest to come on and talk some sense into you.
Regina Huffins Jacobs?
No, a guy named Javid Best.
Oh, former running back, Cal.
Salesian.
Okay.
Cal. Olympian. And he represented, and I don't want to get it wrong, I want to say St. Lucia, but he represented another country.
Wow.
In the Olympics, he's currently coaching football at Bishop O'Dowd,
which
is where
Dragons.
Steiny's got roots, I got roots, and so I think we can get Javid Best to come in and weigh in on this very thing. I'm sure he knows Lo Neal. I don't think he ever played with Lo Neal in the league. Javid Best is only 38 or 39,
right?
But he's a guy who
had overlap, though.
A little bit. You're right.
Yeah, they put like
state 100-meter runner, Olympian in the 100. So just to talk to you about the nature of the 100, because you know you can play at 24-hour fitness and
full speed now.
Sure. And how long is the court?
A regular court,
which is
94 feet,
which is
NBA like.
How many yards? 31. So even if you go baseline to baseline on a fast break and you're, left side, open.
Gotcha.
That's only 1/3 of what we're talking about. And if you watch the 100, and I know you have, you're an astute sports fan, the 100 is one between yards or meters.
So you think I'm going to run out of gas?
And 70. Yes.
No.
Absolutely.
Get stronger it gets longer.
Muhammad.
Real quick, you're listening. You're listening to 95.7, just in case Shanahan's here. You're listening to 95.7, the game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station. Always live in the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk studio.
I never needed Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch to start talking more in my life. What do you do to work out?
I run the elliptical an hour.
You run the elliptical.
Okay, we got it. We got Kyle.
Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. Here we go.
Juwan Jennings and just how that fits into the overall picture of the 53.
Yeah, so Juwan's still working through his calf issue, making progress. We're kind of like everyone else, hopeful but not sure, you know, on week one. And, we'll proceed as as such. And so we're working to get the best mix out there. We added a piece today and, in MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and thrilled to have him part of it. And, we move forward.
Are you involved in any other wide receivers?
We're always trying to improve our roster.
You guys have mentioned his MRI in the past. Do you guys see progress with the imaging that's been taken on the calf?
Yeah, you don't image a guy like daily, you know. So that's something that happened a little bit ago, and if it doesn't get better soon, I'm sure we'll be doing more of that.
Is it worse than you originally had thought it was going to be?
Yeah, but I also, calves can take a long time. That's one thing with that injury. Played with guys who they can take a while. So.
I'm sure you may be aware that there's been some conjecture that there's more than just a calf going on, given his desire for your contract and everything. Are you convinced when he is healthy that he'll be ready to play?
Well, there's a lot that goes into that, Eric. You know, ideally, everybody has a training camp. Everyone's out there. You know, that's a perfect world. But you know, he's been putting in work to the side, and we'll have to make that judgment when the time comes. You know, the other thing is both things can be true. You know, he wants a new contract and he's got a hurt calf. So I think people want to assume one or the other. Both things can be true.
When you make your decisions on the wide receiver position specifically, do you have to do it assuming you might not have Juwan for the first few weeks?
I think we make every decision on this roster with so many things in consideration. So, yes, of course.
Has he asked to be traded?
You know, a while ago he did. But that was a long time ago, and we've moved on from that.
That was during camp, or was it before?
I'm not getting into when it was, but it, you know, was a while ago.
What about Russell Gage? Is he, any plans to bring him back?
Yeah. Gage will be out there today.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the practice squad?
No, he'll be on the 53.
Yeah. You mentioned a couple weeks ago that there would be definitely movement. It's fluid given the number of injuries and the positions. How hard is it to start looking at week one, knowing that there's still moves to be made, knowing... I mean, there's some positions that look pretty short right now. As a coach plotting for that, how difficult has that been?
I mean, it's always difficult. You know, it's difficult in week eight when you have a bunch of guys go down the week before too, and you're sitting there and you don't have those guys on practice squad and you're not sure how you're going to put it together, but you find a way to figure it out and you show up the next Sunday. So, you know, at week one, it can be a little bit different, but these are times that you go through always as a coach at some time in the year. I'm glad that we have gotten a lot of our injury guys back. Some joining in on practice on Monday. We'll have more out there today. So hopefully we'll keep having better luck with that.
And this is a team that's had great chemistry, obviously, but it's also had some contractual issues in the past. What does it tell you that Juwan did ask to be traded, and how does that change the way you think about him or way he exists on this organization?
No, that doesn't faze me at all. I don't think it has anything to do with team chemistry. And that only has anything to do with how we approach each other, how we spend our time with each other. That has to do with business decisions. And those are the business decisions people make. But I don't look at any of that stuff. I mean, you get a tweet of that while you're on your vacation, and I don't get the tweets, but when people copy a tweet and send it to me, that's about all I get, and I usually move on with my life.
John, when you said he did ask for a trade a while back, has that trade request been rescinded?
No, he asked for it, and we've moved on. And we're not doing that, so we're moving forward.
What is his contract? What about the contract site says that he has incentives baked into that contract that he signed? Does he have performance-based incentives?
I think that report, somebody put that in front, that was from last year. So those are things that he's already earned from last year. Yeah.
Your offense has pretty consistently over the years ranked toward the top of the league in yards after catch. From your view, to what extent is that a credit to the scheme versus the individual ability of any one receiver and player?
I mean, I think it always goes to players. I mean, you can always get more yards after the catch if you're really open. You know, you need good players to get really open. And sometimes you're not really open and you have the right player who's only a normal guy would get 2 yards after the catch, but we got a different guy who gets 4 yards after the catch, so that stuff adds up. So I always give that credit to the players.
There's that nickname for Debo. You can kiddle the Yak Bros. Debo's not here anymore, and I won't be ready to go for the early part of the season. How would you assess Ricky Pearsall's chances of maybe being accepted as a new member?
I'm struggling to hear, but you're saying that him getting yards after the catch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A Yak Bro?
How do you assess his chances of being a new member?
I think anytime you have really good hands, that's where it starts with having yards after the catch. How quickly you can stop the spin of a ball and tuck it away and get immediately vertical usually has to do with how good your hands are. And Ricky is very good at that. Then other stuff goes into breaking tackles and stuff. Debo was elite at that because how big he was and how powerful he was. And then some guys get yards after the catch because they can run away from everybody. But usually the guys who are yards after the catch are guys who don't mess around, catch it clean, get right up the field. And that to me always starts with your hands, and these are the mindset of how you play football.
Are things trending so that you think you'll have Pooney and March week one?
We're optimistic about it. We're hoping so. I mean, I guess I'd say that'd be trending in the right direction, but we won't know that till next week. And I'm hoping to, and we got Barch back out on Monday's practice. So that's, we're on course for that and hoping to get Pooney out sometime next week, if not Monday, hopefully Wednesday. But he's doing good in his rehab and it's looking positive so far.
You guys activated Yeter yesterday for pump. Where is he? Is he possible for week one or is that going
to
be?
Yeah, he's possible for week one. We expect him to get out and start practicing here next week. But we've been doing him, we've been working him out like he's going to prep, like he's going to play week one. He's been handling that well, and hopefully that'll continue and he'll be out there on Sunday.
You guys did that overhaul of that defensive front with big emphasis all off season. So now that you're about on the cusp of the season, how does that unit look? You guys stocked up on them at the 53-man roster. I'm sure there's changes now too, but how has it come along?
There's a lot of change to it, but we like the group, and I think they've all gotten better throughout camp. I mean, Bosa's Bosa. He's going to be Bosa. You know, Michael started off really good, had a great offseason, then got nicked in training camps, as did C.J. West. But they've both done a nice job. Alfred Collins, we're really happy and proud of the efforts he's put forth, and I think he's improving. As he's getting his legs underneath him. Sam O making great contributions. Kyle just talked about Yeter. Bryce Huff really has shown his value to us. So I think when you throw it all together, Beal in that group as well. So as you throw that whole group together, there's a lot to like. We did claim a guy from Jacksonville, Jordan Jefferson, today. And felt like an opportunity to upgrade our group, a guy we've liked way back to his college days in LSU, and add something to our group. And we wanted to take a look at that. So, you know, when you put the whole group together, I think we like it. And there's versatility, guys who can move inside, rush inside, and be a fun group to work with.
You're listening to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch preseason press conference during the crossover on 95.7 The Game.
Next Jacksonville guys, is the Ethan Waugh connection helpful there, or is that just random?
Well, it's certainly nice to, you know, when you can see the film, we can all see the film, you go back to draft process, but how's he been since he's been a pro? And it's nice to have Ethan's, you know, we respect Ethan's opinion. He's earned that around here, and so it is nice to have that resource.
You mentioned you're not going to trade Juwan Jennings.
Part was the decision on Sebastian Valdez, and kind of what went into that decision to kind of go forward the way you did.
Does you mean him not making the 53? Just numbers. I mean, we had sometimes we go with four guys inside. Sometimes we go with five. We usually go nine as a group. We went 10. We ended up finding I think we went 11, actually. 11. Finding out we could get one from another roster, and we're glad that he's still here on our practice squad. So you always take a risk of losing those guys, but there's no difference to me between our 53 and the 16 guys on practice squad. I know for those guys there's a difference because it's a different paycheck, which I fully understand. But Sebastian's part of our team, and I'm glad that we didn't lose him. And I plan on him continuing throughout the year, and there's probably going to come a time in this year where we need him.
You mentioned you're not going to trade Juwan. Are you negotiating with him or waiting for him to come back soon?
We keep those things behind the – we have throughout the offseason, and we'll leave it at that.
And bringing Russell Gage back. Any other moves of guys who will be added to the 50?
Just some practice squad stuff, and you know, that's gone on. Continuing to add to that, you know, we'll put that out as soon as that's final. But you know, just that right now.
Do you plan to have a quarterback on the practice
squad? Yes,
we do.
Yep,
we do.
What's the plan with Curtis Rourke this season? Is it going to be a redshirt for him?
He gets 3 weeks to decide when he comes back, so we'll decide on that and how those 3 weeks go. And you know, I don't expect it anytime real soon, but I think what I said last time, around week six or something, so sometime in that area. So when that happens, we'll have 3 weeks to decide. And you know, it's always tough when a guy doesn't get any off season to throw him into 3 weeks of Carter practices and stuff to make a decision. But I'll tell you, he's worked as hard as anyone can in the position he's in. Just what we see him out there doing alone in the morning, how attentive he is in the meetings and stuff. So he'll give himself a chance in those 3 weeks, and if not, he'll get a redshirt year.
John, how do you think Jake Moody did as a quarterback here bringing to the practice squad?
It's not official.
He's still en route, but Adrian Martinez is his name, was with the Jets, he's en route, yeah.
How do you think Jake Moody did this preseason?
Well, I think it was an excellent competition between him and Joseph. You know, I think Kyle spoke to, we didn't want that competition to end, but anyone who says it wasn't a competition, I don't really agree. I think, you know, the coaches, the special teams coaches are always charting everything. So you see what you see in front of everyone, and then they're doing things to the side. And Jake had a really good, you know, preseason. You know, I found it interesting after, you know, having a hell of a game in Las Vegas that, you know, a lot of people still have questions. And I guess that when you had a season like you did last year, those things are going to be there until you put those – You kind of put that away. And, you know, we got a lot of belief in him, and understand that last year was rough, but that happens in guys' careers. You know, our confidence and belief in him is what we see out here. But, you know, I will say everything's earned in this league, and everyone's got to go prove it each and every game, each and every year. And so Jake understands that.
You guys up front, as far as Marcus Siegel, what's his progress been? Also, the updates on Upton Stout.
Upton should get out there today here this afternoon, so it'll be his first time out of practice here in a little bit, so excited about that. And Marquise Siegel's had an awesome camp. You know, he got a late start, missing OTAs. I think it was his core surgery, I think. But he's been great. You guys have seen him in the games, been the same way in practice, and we'll expect him to help us this year.
You guys had 17 guys, offensive linemen, defensive linemen. This year it's 21. Was this just a product of guys that were unhealthy, or...
We like the groups, you know, really. And, you know, we like the groups. And sometimes there's roster mechanics that go on. Last year, I forget exactly what happened, why we went light. But this is where we thought our best 53 was right now. As Kyle always tells the guys, it's never a final 53. I'm sure it will be fluid. But we like the group of guys. And, you know, that like I said, it you know, expect it to move. It never stays static.
Owners' meetings when free agency was fresh, kind of indicated that you guys had to take your medicine, and I don't think you said it was a one season pause, but you know, kind of had that vibe. I know you've since said that your feelings have changed, and John, if you want to weigh in, but like, where do you, like, it doesn't feel like it's quite Super Bowl or bust, but obviously you still have a lot of great players. Like, I guess big picture, where do you think you are? And I mean, is it a different feeling than some of the past years?
I mean, I've been feeling the same for a while. I mean, we can go back to free agency. I mean, that was, we lost a lot of our team that day, and we didn't sign a bunch of guys, so there was a lot of uncertainty. I felt a lot better after the draft when we filled up some of those holes. When you look at it today, I mean, the draft makes you feel better because you fill up some of those holes, but you're not going to feel good until you actually see those guys make your team and play. I think that was the most exciting thing when you look at the 53. I mean, we lost more D linemen and stuff and defensive players than what we had, especially in one exit. And sometimes when, as a coach, and you think you're going to make that all up in the draft, I look at that as a little make-believe. I don't usually, wherever you draft, first round, second round, seventh round, it's usually 50-50 on that guy. And then when I look at all the guys we drafted and that they legitimately made our team and we're excited about them, that's the stuff that makes me feel a lot better. Where are we at? I don't know. It depends on how good we get as this year goes. We lost some good players, but I think we've filled them with some guys who are capable of becoming those guys and hopefully became capable of becoming better. Is that going to happen right away? No, it never does, but can it happen this year? Can it happen by week four? Can it happen by week eight? And those are things that we're optimistic about. You want to have good luck with injuries and everything like that, which can't control all of that. But I'm excited that we have options in this building. We have young guys to work with, and we have a bunch of players who have been successful in this league who I still believe have a number of good years ahead of them, too.
Kind of following up on that, you look at it two ways. Obviously, more inexperienced, particularly depth-wise, but also maybe more upside. How do you kind of view the variance that you might get with a younger group when you're building up the roster?
Yeah, I think, Nick, 10 of 11 of our draft picks, that's a lot of draft picks, and 10 of 11 made it, you know, and an undrafted free agent made it as well. So there is a lot of youth on this team. There's a lot of opportunity, you know, with youth. The expectation, the standard doesn't change, and, man, they've got great examples of guys who've done it at a high level in this league. So that's really cool for these guys. But you don't expect for it to go perfectly. And hopefully you've worked through a lot of that during the offseason, during training camp. These guys have played preseason games because of some injuries in camp. A lot of these guys probably got more reps than they've expected. Now, in the same tune, some of our rookies were hurt for, you know, a couple weeks during training camp. So I think a lot of it just remains to be seen, you know. But we're excited about what this group has infused into our team. We're excited about the team in general. Did a lot of talent leave this team last year? Absolutely. And but that's the league, and you know, we made the best of it, and I like where our team's at.
When you look at the construction of this team, despite turnover, there's at least a guy in room who's a veteran, who's been there, who can kind of show who has the ropes. Is that encouraging for you in terms of like looking at, okay, like how the transition can be smooth because of that?
Yeah, it's a great mix. I mean, I remember when I was a rookie having Hardy Nickerson next to me, you know, so to be a young guy and have an established vet who's been really successful, who can help you on the field, but help you off the field too, take you through that. That's what you want in a locker room, and I think we've got that throughout this locker room. There's a lot of really impressive people, and obviously their work on the field speaks for itself. So tremendous for these rookies to have role models. And you want to be successful, study successful people. They're all over this locker room, so I think that bodes well for us. Yeah, thank you.
There it is, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch with their latest press briefing in Santa Clara, live here on 95.7 The Game. We welcome you back in to Willard and Dibbs during that entire process. Yes, Steiny and Goo both left. Yep. So crossover yep. over. Let's do this darn thing.
Yeah, we crossed over with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch.
Yes, we did.
Steiny and Guru. Steiny and Goo. It was a six-way. It was great.
And now here we are, and that leads us to now get to connect with you, 888-957-9570. And I know exactly how I feel coming out of that conversation. Juwan Jennings has lost this battle.
For now, yeah,
that's
for sure. And
that's,
I mean,
that's 100% how I feel.
Impending week one, of course, but the idea that Russell Gage is going to be on the 53 any minute now, and he'll be there at practice today yep. in an hour, and you already added Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Kendrick Bourne could still be out there, and maybe he gets thrown in the mix as well. Basically, they look at the Juwan Jennings situation and say, all right, well, you don't want to play, and your calf, whatever, your cash, we don't know what it is, but we need receivers, so pow, 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 we got receivers. What do you got, Juwan?
Yep. Not a bit of leverage anymore.
Not much. Yeah.
Is the answer to that. And the money quote that everyone's going to walk away with right now is Juwan Jennings, John Lynch admitted, asked for a trade earlier this offseason. And we went over it, and we're not doing that.
We're not doing that.
We're not doing that. So, first of all, I'd like to say thanks to John Lynch for listening to our show.
Totally.
And grabbing one of our consistent quotes. But, yeah, that's the money quote. We're not doing that.
Right.
And the more we dive into this, and as I'm kind of now listening to what they said about all of those, the reported incentives this year, John Lynch said that was erroneous. That was basically last year's contract. Steiny had mentioned that earlier today. He was right about that. So I don't think there are contract incentives. I think that there's only about $3 million that's not paid yet on this year's deal. And so you can look at this and go, what do the Niners have to lose? Like, to make this simple, I think that they're looking at Juwan going, basically, like, there's $3 million left on your deal for this year if you play. And that might feel unfair to you, and we get it, but them's the breaks. And if you want to just sit there and have a staring contest with us over $3 million, knock yourself out. We're just going to have Russell Gage and Marquez Valdez-Scantling patchwork this thing until DeMarcus Robinson becomes active, until Brandon Ayuk becomes active, until Jordan Watkins gets healthy, and until Jacob Cowan gets healthy. And so your leverage is only going to get worse throughout the season. Juwan, you tried. I had your back for trying. I get it why you tried. You're probably never going to put numbers up like that again. But you lost this battle, dude. You lost this battle, and so now, to my ears, I know, he might, two things can be true. He has a calf injury.
Sure.
And a contractual situation. Yes, two things can be true. I'm going to choose to believe that in this case, they're not. This is a holdout, and the Niners just told him, show up next week or don't.
Or don't.
We're ready for this either way. I'm sorry, Juwan, you lost.
And they have to be ready for it. And so if they're not sure if he will show up, and they know more about the calf than we do, and if the calf is close enough to where he could show up in practice, and they feel like that he still doesn't want to show up in practice, then you go out there and you bring back Gage and you sign Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who is not a world beater, but he's a guy who has done some things in the NFL.
NFL receiver.
He's an NFL receiver, and you've got DeMarcus Robinson in week four, and you've got Gage, who a couple of years ago was an NFL receiver. So you're definitely trying to circle your wagons to bring in guys who you at least feel like can be stopgap if Juwan doesn't want to play football.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 3,566 career receiving yards. Twice he flirted with the 700 mark. That would have been his best year. Yeah, he's never been a one. He's never even really been a two. He's kind of a classic three. Yeah,
he's a journeyman.
Yeah, but like, you know, time with Green Bay and Kansas City, and then I think last year split some time between New Orleans and Buffalo. This year he was in Seahawks camp. Now he's a 49er. If the Niners can get three games out of him.
Exactly.
Great. Great.
And that's where the bar is. And same thing with Russell Gage. So Gage comes in today and he'll be added to the 53. So we talked about this yesterday, like week one, who are your receivers if you don't have Juwan Jennings? Well, now you've got Russell Gage, you've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you've got Ricky Pearsall, you've got Sky Moore. Yep.
That's your group.
Right, and maybe like somebody else who you can elevate, or maybe Juwan shows up, but you at least have four that you can go into Seattle and say, okay, we have four.
I think you just said exactly what they're going to do, because they usually like to have five wide receivers on game day. So right now the plan is Ricky Pearsall, Sky Moore, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Russell Gage, and Juwan Jennings. And if Juwan would like to not be there, we'll elevate somebody from the practice squad.
Robbie Chosen is on the squad.
And Jordan Watkins is probably ready by week two or week three. DeMarcus Robinson's ready by week four.
Yep.
And so I get it. Super, super frustrating for Juwan. I bet he feels like a piece of meat. Because this is kind of, like, I'll hold this for coming up in a couple minutes. I think where we've arrived is a crisis of timing. And I'm almost going to end up using the word that we've always used for Jonathan Kuminga.
Boy, exactly. You got roads.
You got a good team and you got a good player, but is it a good fit? And I'll explain coming up in 2 minutes why we've arrived at Juwan Jennings doesn't fit. I wish he did. I really do. And I think they do. I think they badly want Juwan this year. I don't think they're all that interested after that. And that's the problem.
Sure. And if you look at after that, you've got Ayuk on massive money. You still have Pearsall, who should be good on a rookie deal. Watkins would be a second-year player next year on a rookie deal. And you start to look at what you have going forward.
Cowan year three.
Thank you, on a rookie deal.
Yep.
So you've got guys that you think could be good. And so if Juwan wants $15, $17 million per year, that's going to be a no from them, dog. And also, we're not trading him. Like, and this is what you and I talked about in the green room. If they try to trade him, what are they going to get, a sixth?
If they're lucky. At this calendar's in a bad spot. Juwan wants more money, so the acquiring team would need to pay for that. I don't think they would get Bupkis for him.
And
so
I probably think that they would have shopped him 7 weeks ago.
Maybe. I'm sure they called around.
Right.
Due diligence.
And if they got back, hey, we'll give you a sixth, they're like, no.
Nah. We're sponsored by Ceramani Ford. If you were Juwan, what would you do? 888-957-9570. We're going to take your calls right now on this as we get started after we get some new and somewhat more definitive terms from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch in their season opening press conference. Greg Cosell joins us at 3:15, pods at 4:15. Let's boogie. It's Willard and Dibs.